Nebraska Cornhusker fans of all ages. Welcome to this week's edition of the Five Heart Podcast. This is Todd Wolverton standing in for Greg Mahochko. Greg's busy this week, so he left it up to the two old farts to carry the load. John, I see that you are in your Nebraska room up there in Minnesota. Is it quit snowing in Minnesota? Do you have buds on trees or anything like that up in the great north?
It's been a lousy week. I mean, it's in that area where it's in the 30s, so it snows and rains together, and it's just shitty out and miserable, and you want spring to break open and take over and be happy so you can go on walks and wave at people but hope they don't actually talk to you, because that's what Minnesota does to people. I don't know if Minnesota is full of, the entire state is the introverts. And if you're an extrovert and you come here, you have to become an introvert over time, because people get angry if you just like, hi, how you doing? Like, why is he talking to me? He must be a murderer.
We've had struggles with spring breaking through down here in Iowa and Nebraska, so I guess it's not a whole lot different, just not quite as cold. Hey, I heard a story, John. Heard a story about you, as a matter of fact.
Oh, God. What?
No. I heard that you have a strong affection for juju fish.
Is that what they are?
Well, they're those little gummy candies.
I wasn't going to bring this up.
Well,
I was just going to struggle through this.
You know,
went there.
I never knew that a person could eat too many juju fish.
Okay. Here's the thing. I experiment with a lot of different things, not drugs, but maybe I should. But I experiment with different parts of diet just to see how it affects my brain injury. And one of the things I've tried to eliminate from my diet is extra sugar, and actually sugar. And then last night, we had to go pick the car up at the mechanic, and before I hopefully head to Lincoln tomorrow for the spring game. And I stopped by the gas station and I bought a bag of juju fish and a bag of cinnamon bears. And I ate the whole bag of juju fish before I went to bed. And I woke up with pretty much a hangover.
So was it two bags for like $3? You know, one of those deals?
Yeah, it's one of those things.
I can't walk away from those, John. I mean, if I walk into a convenience store and I get anywhere close to that display, I got to grab two bags, and I'll grab a bag of cinnamon bears. Those are good candies.
Yeah, they taste like wax.
Well, and I guess they do stick to your teeth, but maybe I'm a sucker for that. They just last longer that way. When candy sticks to your teeth, you just get to enjoy it longer.
Well, it apparently really affects me, because I track what causes worse headaches than others. And I have actually verified that eating a lot of sugar gives me severe headaches, and it does. So it's a brain foggy. It's going to be I'm trying to get energy going here for this podcast.
Well, then I do want to send out this PSA then. So just so everybody knows, all of you fans of John Dam Johnston, do not send candy. Do not send anything high in sugar. You know, you can send it to me. I mean, obviously, I have no problem eating that stuff. But don't send it to John. Think of his headaches. Think of his health. You know, send him, I don't know, you know, like granola. Or you know, maybe a subscription to like green shakes or something healthy or you know, whatever. So anyway, hey, John.
Yes.
We got, we have the annual rite of spring just around the corner. All Nebraska football fans, all Nebraska fans know that football season officially starts this weekend. None of that off-season stuff. When we play the spring game in Nebraska, we're kicking off the football season. And I hear
is that true? Well, is that true?
I don't know. I'm just saying that.
No, it's not. It can't
be. It's not. Okay. No. Well, then I was misinformed. But I hear a rumor that you're headed from the Great North down to down to Lincoln a little bit to check out the spring game. So what are you expecting to see at the big old spring game, John?
A lot of other Husker fans.
46,000.
Yeah, which is we should discuss that. I mean, there's two ways to take this, right? In 2018, when Scott Frost was hired, there were 86,000 people at this game. And a few years later, four years later, there are 46,000, about half of capacity. And it's even weirder considering the fact that we've been dealing with this pandemic crap for a while and, you know, everything's opening up and becoming normal and people should be getting out. And listen, I realize if you're probably one of those people that didn't really close yourself in a lot. I haven't gone out. You know what I did this weekend, Todd?
Tell me. I'm on bated breath.
I went shopping.
Ooh.
I haven't gone shopping in at least a decade. I'm not even making that up. I went and bought new pants with my wife.
New pants?
New pants. I have gone through this entire pandemic. I have gone through this entire pandemic with a pair of khaki pants, which we are going to burn on YouTube before the season starts in a ceremony, because I want to get rid of things. It's time to get rid of things that are holding us back and open ourselves up to new adventures. But okay, that's the pants thing. You know what else I did this weekend? I went to church for probably the first time in 2 years.
Wow, it's not even Easter or Christmas.
I know. I was like, I'm trying to, you know, kind of get into things before I have to get to the big event. And the reason why this is because church is really hard. You have to sit still. You have to be nice to people. You can't yell at the minister in the middle of his sermon, because I've actually done that. And you know, people don't care for it, especially Lutherans, apparently. I don't know. You know, whatever. Just because. Anyway, it's difficult. It's a hard social environment for me, because you can't just like, hey, fuck Iowa. You know what I mean? Because there's a guy that plays in our church band who sings, and he's a really nice guy, but he's an Iowa fan. But he wasn't there, and I just wanted to yell, fuck Iowa, at the band, because, you know, just to let him know that I still felt the same way. Because if he was there at church, I would have gone up to him, whispered in his ear, and said, fuck Iowa. And then he would have gone, ooh, you're going to hell. Yes, probably. Maybe not for that, but probably. Anyway, what were we talking about? The spring game, right?
Spring game. You're concerned about the drop-off in attendance. Now, last time I looked, there's not a sign on the west side of the stadium that says, you know, the spring football game sellout streak, for God's sakes. We got to keep track of sellout streaks for the spring game now?
Well, I'll just ask this question to you. Is this a condemnation of the Scott Frost era? Is this a reflection of how fans feel about the Scott Frost era? Or are there a lot of people like me that are just like, they got so used to sitting at home and seeing the world through like computer monitors that they didn't, you know,
I think it's rebellion against the video spring game that was held. What was that? 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when, you know, two of the football players, we did the spring game on video.
I forgot that completely.
I just think that people are saying, hey, nothing can beat that. Why would I go watch something live when I can watch, you know, two Nebraska Cornhuskers play a video game?
Wow. I mean,
at what other point in our lifetime were we able to see Nebraska greats from the 60s, the 70s, 80s, 90s, and the 2000s playing on the same field at the same time? Never. That viewing experience during the height of the pandemic, you know, that took Nebraska fans to new levels of spring football appreciation. Why? Why would you go watch a live game in the spring that can't hold a candle to the video spring game?
You know, right now I'm afraid for my life. Do you know why?
Because you're a gamer and I don't.
No. It's that I literally have never experienced this before, but I'm afraid that there's going to be a tidal wave of bullshit pour from my monitor into my small room and I'll drown in bullshit because that was really good. It was top quality. At least it'd be high grade bullshit.
So is the drop off of 40,000 people at a practice, is that a condemnation of the Scott Frost, of the state of Scott Frost football? Who knows? Possibly, probably. Certainly there's not the excitement that everybody had in Scott Frost's first year. I mean, that's worn off. Half the potential starting lineup hasn't even suited up this spring. They're talking about, possibly modifying the game so it's not truly, the red team against the white team, which, that wouldn't be the first time that you have a real controlled kind of a scrimmage for a spring game. But I don't know. Yeah, I can't disagree with you a whole lot. I think that there is, I just don't know that Cornhusker fans are going to make a practice on an April Saturday priority, especially if the weather's nice and people want to get outside. And, you mentioned it, people are all cooped up. Maybe there's other things they want to do, on a nice spring day. I mean, my preference, I'll put it this way. The spring game starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the baseball game first pitch is at 3:05. I will be in the baseball stadium in advance of 3:05. That is where my priority is.
The spring. Who are we playing?
Rutgers, as a matter of fact.
That's what I thought.
Yes. And unfortunately, John, I was not going to bring that up because it was the Rutgers series last year where I think you and I reached absolute – we bottomed out. I recall a video at your sister's house that we shot where we just were – I wouldn't say we were beyond consolation, but we were really kind of like, what the hell just happened this weekend?
Well, we got swept for the first time at home since 2009.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. That's state baseball. We're not done.
Yeah, we're talking football. Well, okay. You referenced, before we came on and started recording this, you referenced a video that was shared with us by Greg. And, Greg has all these great ideas and they didn't bother to show up tonight. There was apparently a video out there by some guy named Pate or something like that who was.
We'll include it in the show notes.
Sure. That sounds good. But he's talking about 46,000 tickets sold for a spring game at Nebraska. And let me ask this question, and perhaps somebody in the audience knows. At 46,000, if that's how many people actually show up, or I guess, you count it because the tickets were sold. How many other spring games in the United States will have more paid attendance than 46,000? Even though it's not 86,000 like it was 4 years ago, I'm willing to bet that there are very few football programs that will sell more than 46,000 tickets for a spring game. And I think in essence, that's kind of speaks of Nebraska fans.
I'd say three, like Alabama, Ohio State. I don't know. All of this seems to be really kind of, college football's kind of gone off into the distance. Maybe it's because I haven't been paying as close attention as I usually do. I'm paying attention to other things. I probably paid attention to college basketball as much as I ever have this year, just because this tourney was a lot of fun. But, in terms of people selling tickets, I mean, you've got Alabama, probably Ohio State. Those are usually the top ones, aren't they?
Well, sure. But for a team that hasn't had a winning record in 5 years, 6 years, I don't even remember. For 46,000 people to show up, I think that speaks highly of Nebraska fans. Might not say a whole lot about the football program right now, but it certainly speaks highly of Nebraska fans and how embedded football is in the culture of this state.
I think if I'm going to go, there's two reasons why I want to go. Number one, I usually do go, or I have gone. I've usually actually been on the field, and this year I'm not going to do that anymore. But I'm going to go out and hopefully go with you. And it's going to be a social event, I think. You know, I really haven't seen my sister who lives in Lincoln for quite a while, and I'll go down there and see her, and then I'll just pal around and talk to people and see how they're doing. See if anybody wants to like punch me in the face for being an opinionated son of a bitch. But other than that, probably I think that the one thing that everybody wants to see is Casey Thompson, and that's about it. Maybe a running back, but Casey Thompson, because we'd say Chubba Purdy, but I think he got injured.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced much all spring. He's been very limited in what he's done.
Well, I mean, the new quarterbacks, but really Casey Thompson. We can pretend there's somebody else, but it's Casey Thompson.
Well, and I think that there are those people, you know, that think that perhaps we're going to get a taste of the Mark Whipple offense. And, you know, I've never seen a spring game. And I've gone to one Nebraska spring game live. And I think that was back when I was in college, and probably just wandered over there and walked into the stadium.
They had the spring games, but they weren't insane.
No.
You just went and showed up and walked around, and, you know.
Kind of like going to the freshman games on Fridays back when they had those. Do you remember those?
No, I don't.
I had a good friend that was playing in the freshman games, and I'd go over, and after class on Friday, you just walk in the stadium. You know, there might be 1,000 people, if that, you know, maybe 500. And I would find this kid's dad and go up and sit by him. And, no, it wasn't an event, but I think I do believe that there are some people that think that maybe we'll get an idea of what the offense is going to look like. I doubt it. I think it'll be pretty generic. But then, you know, we've got other folks on the staff at Coronation who have mentioned, you know, with the way ticket prices have gone, not only at Nebraska, but at all Division I schools, you know, for football, it's kind of hard to take the whole family, you know, for younger families, you know, if you've got two or three kids, that's a pretty solid investment you got to make if you're going to buy tickets and go to Lincoln, you know, on a Saturday in the fall. And here you can, you know, you can buy a ticket for $10 and go in and basically sit wherever you want and watch a ball game. So I think there's something to be said for that. And I do believe that the athletic department, you know, they kind of cater to that too. They try to do some things over the course of the game that are, you know, kind of fun for the fans, fun for the kids, and that type of thing. So
what else? One of the running backs, probably one of the new running backs, you know, like an Anthony Grant or an Emmett Johnson. I don't know. Offensive line coming off the ball. Let's be honest. I'm not going to go to this game and think, you know, in the past I'd go with a camera and my goal was to get shots of as many different football players as I could and assistant coaches, because some of those are really hard to get otherwise. Whereas the spring game has always been more relaxed. You see guys standing around without a helmet on. They're usually laughing. They're usually smiling. They haven't done so much of that on the sidelines, you know, in the last few years. So that's what my goal was for earlier spring games. And I think this one is just, if I make it down there, I think it will be just to have fun and enjoy myself, because let's face it, Nebraska football, you see all these, you mentioned 46,000 people and all the losing seasons. We're gathering together for something we all love. Mm-hmm. We may beat the shit out of each other about it. And that Pate State guy in that video mentioned about how visiting fans are treated so well by Nebraska fans. We're like one big family. We can beat the fuck out of ourselves and try to stab or homicidal rage when it comes to our own fan base. But mostly if Northwestern shows up, we're going to offer them whatever we have. You know, that's always interesting to me, you know, that we don't just like relax a little bit and go, hey, man.
Well, I don't know. You know, John, if you make it down here, we'll go to the ball game together. Hang out. You can socialize. I'm kind of the anti-social guy. But
no, you won't. You can't be.
Well, why? You won't let me?
Yeah. you have to be the straight man. You have to be the guy that takes flack from me.
Well, then we got to, but then, you know, like I told you, John, I don't care where the football game's at, but I will be in my seat in that baseball stadium when Rutgers and the first Rutgers batter steps into the batter's box. Unfortunately, are we ready to move off? Do you want to keep talking a little more football? You know, we should be having.
Do we have anything else about football? There is literally almost no interest in football right now.
Well, you know,
the only thing I'd say is this. This is the biggest event for Nebraskans in the spring.
Absolutely.
You know, easily. And yeah. It's nice to see that people are still showing up in droves. And I completely forgot what I was going to say. It's been a brain foggy day. But I guess it's just let's move on to baseball.
Well, I would really hope that, you know, we could be sitting here kind of, you know, in a really, really good mood because Nebraska played so well this weekend. They swept Ohio State on the road in Columbus. They had as good of offensive output as they've had, you know, in any series this year. You know, pitching still not where it needs to be, but pitching was okay. You know, and so you had to feel really good about that. And, you know, Nebraska sitting there at now 4-2 in the conference. They're 12-14 on the season. And as we record this, they're playing in Omaha against Omaha, and they are down 5-1. And once again, pitching.
What inning?
Let's take a little bit. I'll look over the river here. It looks like the seventh inning. Okay. If I can. Yeah, I think the scoreboard says seventh inning. So,
you know what? I thought about going to the baseball series this weekend, but last time I went to a baseball series at Haymarket Park against Rutgers.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Nebraska baseball said at the time, looked at me and said, you blame me for the Rutgers sweeping us because it was the only games I've been down there for at Haymarket Park in a very long time. So I don't know.
Well, maybe you'll know if you walk up to the gate and they have your picture on the fence that says, don't let this guy in.
Yeah. The Big Ten, I think we brought this up. I have mentioned that I think that not playing midweek games and non-conference games has really hurt the development of the Big Ten teams. And Nebraska went in and swept Ohio State and actually beat them up pretty badly.
Yeah, they did.
The conference is, and we brought this up too, the conference just does not look good. I mean, Purdue came into last weekend with what? A 17-1 record, 17-2, and got swept by somebody. Illinois?
Might have been. Well, I don't disagree with you, John. And again, I have not looked at the standings yet. I think it's still too early in the season to really worry about that. But my opinion, is that the teams that have veteran pitching, veteran teams, they're the ones that are going to have success in the Big Ten this year. And I think the conference will be lucky to get more than a couple of teams into the tournament. You know, the RPIs just are not going to be that good. But
there's probably going to be one. I would be surprised if we get two.
Well, I think you could get two if Michigan has a good regular season. You know, the pollsters, they love Michigan. They'll show Michigan some love, and Michigan will get, you know, they'll get ranked because they're Michigan and everybody, you know, whatever.
Eric Backich.
Yeah, Eric Backich. But if for chance, the other team I think that's got a chance is Iowa. I hate to say that. Iowa's got veteran pitching. And if Iowa can put it together and maybe win the conference tournament, you know, then I think it might be feasible that a couple of teams get in. But, you know, Nebraska, I think, still has the potential of playing well this year. They're going to be heavily dependent upon the bullpen, because I just don't think that they have the starting pitching, you know, that, you know, especially when you take Jake Bunns and Kyle Perry out,
right?
They just don't have the starting pitching that, you know, even in a few weeks that you can count on getting to the sixth and the seventh inning. So the bullpens look pretty good. The bullpen looked good out at Ohio State. And so I think that's where it's at. The thing that has to happen.
I'm going to ask a stupid question. Finish your thought.
Well, the thing that's going to have to happen is the hitting has to come around. You know, it was, I guess I did feel a little bit better last week when I saw the starting line, or excuse me, this last weekend when the starting lineup on Sunday, we only had one batter in the lineup that had an average under 200, you know, whereas the previous weekend, I think we had four or five. So, you know, some of them are starting to hit a little bit, but it's a young green team. And that's the reality. They're just a young bunch of kids.
So what, you're a better baseball guy than I am. I forgot a lot of baseball stuff. You know what else I did recently is I actually looked at, you know how to score baseball?
Mm-hmm.
I think I used to know that, but I forgot when my, you know, life got blown up. But the question for you to explain to people is this. Why, what makes a guy a starter versus being in the bullpen?
Well, I'm not a pitching expert, and
pretend.
If I were a baseball coach, I'd have to find a really good pitching coach. No, what it generally has to do with is how long. Well, you got to have a little bit better a little bit different mental outlook. You know, starters have to have a tremendous amount of confidence. Well, so do relievers, but it's a little bit different kind of a situation. But you know, your starters have to be. They have to have stamina. You know, they've got to be able to go out there on the mound and, you know, they've got to have the ability, you know, to throw 80 to 100 pitches and be efficient with those pitches. Probably the biggest difference, though, is that your starters, if your starters don't have three quality pitches, you know, they're going to be in trouble. You know, you've got to have a good fastball, or you got to be able to spot your fastball. You got to have a good breaking pitch, and you have to have a third pitch. And generally that's, you know, the ability to change speed or, you know, a little bit different look on a breaking pitch or something like that. But, you know, most of your relief pitchers, if they have two pitches, that's it. You know, there was a game I was watching last weekend. It wasn't Nebraska, but another college game I was watching, and they brought in a relief pitcher, a middle relief pitcher, and all he threw was sliders. Didn't throw a fastball, didn't throw a changeup, just threw sliders. And, you know, that's okay if you're not going to see batters multiple times. But you've got to have a mix of pitches if you're going to be a starter.
When we're playing these guys, like we just discussed, you know, the midweek games are for people that aren't regular in the weekend rotation, right? They're the midweek games are basically, for those of those who don't follow college baseball heavily, midweek games are generally so you're developing your staff, you're developing your players, and you're playing guys that aren't regularly in the lineups, and you're not starting your weekend pitchers. But what do guys develop stamina as they grow stronger because of the midweek games? Do they develop better pitches? Do they just get more experience, more confidence when they're playing at the collegiate level, or what is it?
Yes, 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 and yes. And, you know, like to against Omaha, they started Drew Christo, who is a true freshman, big kid. I think he's like 6'5", 235. I mean, he's a big kid, and he's got a live arm. And, you know, they started him with the hope, I think, that he can develop some stamina. And more important with him, it was confidence. Unfortunately, he didn't get a boost in confidence tonight because he gave up 3 runs in the first inning. And, you know, he's learning how to pitch at the college level. So getting him some experience, putting him in situations where he can learn and trying to build that stamina. Unfortunately, he only pitched 2 innings tonight. I would guess they were hoping that they get at least 3 out of him. But they also want to look at some of these other young arms as well. And, you know, going back to what you said earlier, losing the midweek games, you know, hurt the Big Ten. And, you know, I would say it did hurt some of the teams that, you know, are reliant on younger pitchers. You know, shoot, Nebraska at times this year, they've rolled out relief pitchers that are juniors and seniors that have hardly pitched. I mean, think about it. Last year was an abbreviated season. The year before, right, they played like 14 games. You know, I understand that some of them got a year back, but, you know, you put a guy out there with, you know, and they announce him as a senior, announce him as a junior, and you hardly even know who the guy is. It's kind of tough. So,
well, but what else is going on?
Well, you know, if you go down to Haymarket Park, you know, just right next to the baseball stadium, you got Bolin Stadium, which is where the softball team plays, and Coach Rhonda Revelle has them playing incredibly well this year. I think they're 25-9. They've won their first 2 series. They've swept the first 2 Big Ten series they played. They went up to Michigan. At the time, Michigan was ranked 19th, and Nebraska took 2 out of 2. The third game was canceled because of weather. And then this past weekend, they took 3 from Rutgers. 2 of them, they run ruled them. And I guess actually in between that, between Michigan and Rutgers, they beat Creighton 15-0. So they're hot right now. And you know, I was listening to an interview with Olivia Farrell, one of the pitchers, senior pitcher. She got an extra year and she's using that. But she talked a lot about how, you know, the senior captains starting at the end of last season, they have put a heavy emphasis on team building and, you know, building a culture and where everybody is committed to one another. Where they, you know, develop some very close relationships, not only on the field, but off the field as well. And I found that pretty interesting because, you know, I think a lot of times we just take for granted, or, you know, those of us that haven't played at that level, that, you know, yeah, you got these tight bonds on the field, but, oh, and you might room with a few of your buddies or a few of your teammates or whatever. I think we underestimate how important chemistry is and how important, you know, that you know, jumping in the foxhole with one another is. And I got to thinking about that after I heard it, because I heard the same thing within the last 2 weeks when I heard Sam Hybe interviewed from the women's basketball team. And they have talked, you know, Sam Hybe said, you know, very rarely do they even do anything socially. The girls on the basketball, women on the basketball team, very rarely do they do anything socially when it isn't the whole team. And, you know, there could be something to that when you look at the success that those 2 programs have had. And we've heard the same thing about the volleyball team as well. I don't know. But hats off to Coach Revelle and the softball team, because, you know, Coach Revelle was under a lot of fire a few years ago. In fact, I think there were many people that thought her days at Nebraska were going to be numbered. And, you know, she's there and they're playing well. And this weekend they head up to East Lansing and they're going to play three games against Michigan State. So
can you imagine if the football team did all that, that they went everywhere together?
You'd have to.
Who would feed them?
Who would feed them? There aren't enough bowling lanes in Lincoln.
We did that as a dorm floor. Mm-hmm. We did very well at that compared to most of the other dorm floors. You know, if we go,
we really did. Back to,
yeah, we'd take like 50 of 60 of us to that party where they stole the nitrous oxide. You remember that one?
John, we
that
had
was one of the first experience. that was one of the first parties that our entire dorm floor went to. Was some place that wasn't too far off campus, everybody could walk. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I'll go ahead and do it. But we got there and this party had, is this, do you think this is going to get us in trouble? No, we didn't steal the stuff. We got there and they had like two big bottles of nitrous oxide that somebody had stole from a dental clinic. And people are going in. This is like back in the 1600s. So I'm sure the statute of limitations for all this shit is gone. People were going in and they, I don't know what they were doing. I didn't do it because it scared the shit out of me. But they would go in because I was standing outside the front door on the porch in the dark, drinking a beer or 30. And they would go in and have some of this nitrous oxide and they come out and they would all say the same thing. They'd go, duh, 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 duh. And I'm like, what is that? And he goes, so everything's moving like that, man. It's like, duh, duh. And then the next guy would walk out and he'd go, wow. Duh, duh, duh. And the other guy would go, duh, 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 duh. And that's the experience that like four or five guys. And then I remember one guy clamped his teeth on whatever the nozzle was, and we had to kick him in the head to get him away from it because I don't know what. This should probably all be edited out of this. But that was one of our first experiences together on a dorm floor. I hope that none of the basketball or volleyball or softball teams do anything like this, because I'm sure these days you would get in a lot of trouble.
I'm going to guess they probably don't, John.
Yeah.
They are trained athletes. We were trained assholes.
And that's true. Then next week we saw in the paper that the dental clinic had, or the dental college, I think it was, had some nitrous oxide stolen. And we were like, well, that's interesting. Cause I mean, you just don't go someplace and there's nitrous oxide there.
The one guarantee was that when we were on that dorm floor, wherever the party was, it wasn't just one or two guys from Shram 6 that showed up. It was generally a minimum of 15 to 20. And yeah, we had a good bunch of guys back then, and we had a lot of fun.
We can testify to the nature of bonding and how good it is to develop relationships.
We can. Yes. And I don't know how we bring this back, but when
to the abyss I always take us to.
You know, and I think football is somewhat of an anomaly. I mean, because the teams are so big in many ways, the offense and the defense, they practice separately. I mean, they oftentimes identify themselves as two separate units. It's just a different game. And, you know, there's not another sport. Really? Well, there isn't another sport where, you know, a player on the field specializes in either offense or defense and doesn't play, you know, either only plays offense or only plays defense. So, you know, that whole idea of chemistry and, you know, it's at a different level than what it is in other sports. You know, I hope that one of the things, and now we'll kind of go back to football here. I hope one of the things that Casey Thompson brings to the Nebraska football team is leadership. And I hope that he establishes you know, a high level of trust, you know, among the other players on the offense, because, you know, I think Adrian had that to an extent, but Adrian was, you know, like he was a Minnesotan. He was introverted, you know, to an extent.
And do you think he'll throw the horns down?
Oh, wouldn't that be
Casey cool? Thompson?
Wouldn't that be neat?
That would be a special thing for us.
It would. You know, if he were to go horns down, someone needs to capture that on film, make a life-size cutout. I'll be first in line to buy one of those things. He will be a Nebraska icon.
Before he ever plays a game.
Before he ever plays a game. If he comes out.
We can tell people and say, I was there when Casey was.
Exactly. If he comes out at the spring game, wouldn't that be something if he comes out of the tunnel like this? Oh, my goodness gracious. That would be so cool.
That's why you go to the spring game, Todd. That and to see Trey Palmer, that was the other guy I wanted to bring up. Is last year I specifically wanted to watch some Maury Torrey run routes and see. And I think, you know, I talked to several people who are actual football players, you know, about him, asked him what they thought, and we all had the same conclusion. He is a football player. Some people masquerade as football players.
I think there's a lot of
people. The guy did in high school. Tried hard.
I think there's quite a few football players on this team, but for everyone to get amped up and excited or frustrated and disappointed, you know, because of what happens on Saturday, that's foolish. There's a lot of work that will get done over the course of the summer. There's a lot of bodies that need to be healed. And then when they hit the ground running with the first preseason practices, they better be ready to go. And, you know, because I guarantee you what, Fitz is going to be ready over in Ireland when they get there. And, you know, to steal one of your favorite cliches, Fitz is going to take over a barge full of rocks. And it will be a battle over there in Dublin. And, you know, I'm not going to, I guess, maybe I'm just old and whatever, but I'm not going to get my hopes too high or too low until they actually set foot on the green grass of Ireland.
So you're going to wait that long?
Yep.
Wow, we got a long ways to go.
But I'll be pumped up. I will be excited. I will be ready for Nebraska football. See them running, boys.
That's true. We should come up with our own songs this offseason.
See them running, boys. Yeah, and why, you know, I was really disappointed in the fan survey that they published that tune didn't rank higher among Nebraska fans as part of something they appreciated at home games. I think that's great. You know, if they don't play that in Ireland, well, then never play it again. So
that's true. Okay. Anything else? Do we have anything else to go over?
I'm not
Xavier
sure.
Betts is still not on the team, but they're still talking to him.
Yeah. I think Xavier Betts is a young man that's trying to figure out if football is going to be part of his life. And, you know, there's one truth for every college football player. Every one of them has the same end. And that is eventually they play their last football. And for some, it happens sooner than others. And, you know, you can't be critical of the young man. If he's not there 100% committed, it's awful tough to be a college athlete. So, you know, we'll see what happens. At least I think Xavier Betts, you know, well, let me put it this way. He didn't run home to Millard, Nebraska, crying because he wasn't the starter.
Wow. Shots fired. Okay. Do we have anything else at all?
I don't think we do, John. So
I don't either.
You will let me know if you're coming down.
Yeah, I will.
And it'd be great to have you. It'd be great to see you, John. So I think we probably will wind this up. Thanks all of you for joining us once again for the Five Heart Podcast, where five hearts are all the hearts you need. John?
Go Big Red!
Go Big Red.